he prayed on his knees. But in the 42nd chapter, or the 42nd verse, rather, 1 Kings 18:42. Ahab went up to eat and to drink after Elijah got out and made this intercession before the Lord. He was already prayed up. He was a man that's prayed much on his knees. But then when he went up to the top of Carmel to pray down the rain that he'd prophesied, he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he was left alone there, of course, and he made intercession for God to send the rain upon the earth. You know the record over in James, the 5th chapter, in verse 16? "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Then it tells about Elijah, how that he prayed. He prayed that it rain not on the space of the earth for 3.5 years, and it rained not. Then he prayed again, and the heavens gave a rain. Here he is out here praying. What kind of praying did he do? Down there saying, "Lord, I want it to rain." He got down there with his knees on the earth, his face between his knees, and he began to make intercession. He made intercession. The Bible, old Paul in the 9th chapter of Romans reminds us, he said, you know how that Elijah made intercession to God against Israel. Lord, have mercy. He prayed for it not to rain with intercession. Now he's making intercession for God to send the rain upon the earth. And the Bible said it did rain. And here we know it did. 7 times he prayed with his knees on the ground and his face between his knees toward the ground. 7 times he made intercession. We don't know how long it took the servant to run from where he was in his prone position to go out to look over the Mediterranean Sea to see if he saw any sign of a thunderstorm arising. After he made intercession 7 times, the servant says, "I see a cloud coming up out of the sea about the size of a man's head." He didn't need to pray anymore. He had the evidence that God had heard that intercessory prayer. Praise God, it's not always a cloud the size of a man's hand. Well, sometimes God gives us other signs when we're praying that we can get up now. God has heard us, praise God. And whatever the sign is, it pays to stay on our knees until our battles are won, or until we can face that cup and drink it with grace. We can face the lion's den and know that God's going to meet us there, or go to the fiery furnace and the fourth man's going to be in the fire with us. You don't win it then. You've got to have won the battle back on your knees somewhere in isolation and privacy. Praying until God touches you, until you touch God, until you have faith and submission that you can say, "I'll go to the lion's den. I'll drink the cup of death and suffering. I'll go to the fiery furnace. I'm willing to suffer affliction and want if that's necessary." But at least pray till you know God's will. Till you know God's will is being done in your life. And then you can get up happy. In Acts the 20th chapter, verse 36, the Bible said they kneeled and prayed with the Apostle Paul. I like them places where it says they kneeled. The Bible tells us in the end time, every knee is going to bow when Jesus comes. If it's not right, if it's not the right way for Christians to pray and submit and show their submission and their approval of God's ways, or at least their acceptance of God's ways on their knees, if that's not the right way to win the victory in the right position of your body to demonstrate your submission and humility, then it's, when Jesus comes, it's not right for him to make every knee to bow and every tongue to confess that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. In Romans the 14th chapter, verse 11 and 12, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." In Philippians the 2nd chapter, beginning in verse 9, the great apostle warns, "Wherefore God hath highly, also highly exalted him," that's Jesus, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's a day coming, and I like that song, there's something about that name. For on that final day, when all the sons of Adam's race shall stand before him, when they'll bow their knees and they'll cry out to the glory of God that Jesus is Lord. Yes, there is something about that name. Praise God. When you get on your knees in your weakest hour and proclaim that Jesus is your Lord, and you use that name before the throne of grace, God is going to give you grace to go through with whatever you're facing. He's going to grant you strength to plow through them adversaries, to sustain you through the temptation you're in, to give you strength to endure until God heals you or meets your need. Yes, He will. God will give you grace to stand up, and like a man, you can face it and say, so be it. I can't get God to remove this old thorn out of my flesh. Then like Paul the Apostle, God give me grace to live with that thorn, whatever it be. For the sake of the Christian, God don't always move that thorn. We don't win that battle in God moving the cross or moving the cup or taking the lion's den or the fiery furnace out of our pathway. He don't always move that dark shadow that there's suffering and affliction and want in, that He compels us to walk through it. We close our eyes and grit our teeth and head into them dark places that we know there's something in there, that we know that God's grace is the only thing that will sustain us. And the only wisdom that we need is to fall on our knees, even in our weakest moments. That's where you're going to find strength to rise up and be a Paul, or a Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, a Daniel, or like Jesus, the Son of God Himself, where you're going to find grace to help you in whatever the need is. It doesn't matter. You don't have to set out and ponder the details of the problem. All you've got to do is man enough to muster up the courage to get on your knees and say, God, if You won't move it, then give me grace to endure it. Not my will, but Your be done. And You'll come through victorious on the other side of that dark place. I was praying for a woman one time a few years ago in revival, and the Lord just showed me a vision of that woman walking in a bright path, and in the distance near her was a very dark shadow cast over her path, and I couldn't see into what was in it. And I looked at that lady, and I was praying for her. I said, lady, there's a very severe trial in the next few days is going to come to you. There's something terrible going to happen in your life. And I want to advise you right now to start praying and seeking God earnestly for grace. And I'm going to pray for you right now that God will give you strength to go through that dark place. A few days, I heard the story. One of her children, her son, one night was killed instantly, just like that. No warning. She had to have something to get a hold of. You'd better too. There ain't nothing to get a hold of but the Word of God. Just like when our daughter died, I felt like shaking my fist at God. See, I'd been faithful to God. I'd been praying and fasting for my daughter. No matter what you, how or who you're doing it for, in fasting and prayer, you're getting stronger yourself, even if it's all for someone else. If your prayer and fasting is directed at others, you yourself are getting strong like a giant to withstand whatever the devil's got in store for you. And in the same moment, I felt like shaking my fist at God. The Holy Ghost whispered in my ear, and I found then what the Bible means when it says He's a comforter. I said, God, You told me You'd give her life at my word, and You haven't done it. I thought the Lord meant physical life. The Lord meant eternal life. The Holy Ghost whispered to me when I was mad enough to shake my fist and about to raise it, The Holy Ghost came as a comforter and says, I have given her word, it's your life. And he quoted to me the 10th verse in John 10. John 10 and 10. What does that verse say, somebody? John 10 and 10. I am come